Good morning, you guys, and welcome back to COC. I have been in football mode here for a little while, and I was coming back home from Cooperstown, North Dakota on Friday night, and my voice is hurting, my head is spinning from a football game, and I'm sitting up in the front of the bus with my assistant coaches because we had a 2.5 hour bus ride back, and I'm just like, gentlemen, I think I picked the wrong weekend to preach. And one of my assistants, Tim Campbell, who's been with me ever since I started coaching way back in 2006, he's like, no, coach, you picked the right weekend to preach. And so I thank Tim for that word and that encouragement. But the word that I have for you today, or the message that I have for you, I titled it Subduing Chaos. Subduing Chaos, or I subtitled Establishing Rhythms for Walking in Your God-Given Authority. Because if you're like me, there are moments and seasons in life where it feels like you are being ruled by chaos. Like your life feels chaotic. Hallelujah. You've been there before, correct? Where your life has felt chaotic, okay? Maybe you're in a season right now where life feels chaotic, okay? And we go through ages and stages in life where that chaos can seem very overwhelming, where you feel like you are ruled by chaos. But the challenge from Scripture this morning and the challenge from the Holy Spirit and the encouragement that I have for you today is that you were never meant to be ruled by chaos. Rather, when you were created, and this was a mandate for Adam and Eve in the garden, you were commanded and created to rule over chaos. And so today my goal is to give you rhythms and give you ideas and concepts that will help you to walk in that God-given authority. You were never made to be ruled by chaos. You were always created to rule over it. So I got a question for you, and this is a question that I've been processing in my heart and mind this week, but what is dictating the rhythms and the structure of your life? Better question, how or what is determining the orbit of your life? What dictates your schedule? What determines when you wake up? What determines how you wake up? What determines when you go to bed? What determines how you go to bed? What determines when you eat? What determines how you eat? Because if you were or are like how I used to be, and how I have to continue to battle against, or what I have to continue to battle against in the life that I live, sometimes chaos is ruling. And so what's dictating the rhythms and structure of your life? Is it sports? Told you I'm coaching football right now. And my son Colton is playing football right now. Is sports dictating your rhythm and structure? Is it your job? Does your job determine when you wake up and how you wake up and when you go to bed and how you go to bed? Is it money? Is it your kids? Is it your family? Is it your hobbies? Is it school? Oh, school starts this week. Maybe it's an addiction. Or maybe it's emergencies. Some of us are addicted to adrenaline. And emergencies dictate our schedules. And so my question for you today is, when you're thinking about what dictates the rhythms and structure of your life, are you ruled by chaos or are you ruling over the chaos? Because there's a difference, and one thing you were never meant to be created for, and the other you were always meant to be created for. And I just wrote this as a challenge to you this morning. It's time for you to take back your life and then surrender it to the only master that's ever been worth sacrificing to. There's a reason Jesus said you cannot serve both God and money. You are called to have only one master. And he could have said God in family, God in school, God in work, God in habits, God in sports. Okay? But he knew what was driving the culture of the moment, which was money. And oftentimes, money is the thing that dictates our schedule in our lives the most. It's either money or the lack thereof, oftentimes. that dictates our schedules and our rhythms. And so it's time for us to take back our life. I'm going to walk you through Stephen Schiltz, 2017 to 2023. So brace yourself. 2017 to 2023 was one of the hardest seasons of my life. I was coaching football at the time, like I am now. I had a good staff, but I had staff that didn't necessarily want roles and responsibilities. And so I was calling the offense, I was calling the defense, and I was calling the special teams. Friday night was a maelstrom of responsibility for me. I was working full-time as a teacher. I was working as a sub bus driver. The only sub bus driver for our district, by the way. I was serving as a counselor at the school in my free time. I was volunteering here at COC. I was cutting wood on Saturdays. I was working in my classroom on Sundays after church. I was averaging 5 hours of sleep at night, waking up to go to work on, or to go to work, to start working on work at 5:30 a.m. And I was going to bed thinking about work at 12:30 a.m. We at work, Trisha and I at the time, we were serving as foster parents. I was trying to be a good husband. I was trying to be a good dad. But my life was ruled by chaos. Now, a lot of that stuff that I mentioned was good things. And some of it was even what I would call God things. But it was chaos, and I was letting it call the shots. Open your Bible to Psalm 39 for me, please. Psalm 39. Because I had an aha moment. Because I realized I was quickly deteriorating from the inside out. And I remember Kirk was preaching at a pastor's conference in Brookings at the time. And he asked a very profound question during his message, and it was real simple, and it said, "Who are you becoming?" And his message wasn't directed at me. It was to a group of pastors in the room, but I felt the weight of that question in my spirit. Stephen, who are you becoming as you are continuing to allow chaos to rule your life? And so this is Psalm 39. I'm going to pick up in verse 4. Because David had a little bit of a chaotic life. Living on the run. Trying to be a leader. While trying to be the leader of a country and the leader of an army. Trying to preserve his life from a king who was unwilling to let go of his throne. And basically had a death warrant out for him. Leading a band of ruffians out in the wilderness. And David, in the midst of all that, he's got this calling not only to be the king, but he's got his first primary calling is to be a worshiper. And it's during one of these worship moments that I believe David was speaking prophetically for me, but also prophetically to you. And he says this, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, the span of my years as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth as he's serving that master called money, but not knowing who's going to get it in the end." Take a breath, David. "But now, O Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Because I felt like a phantom. Oh, I felt like a phantom, you guys. I was a shell of myself. and I needed a change. And all along in the midst of that, Holy Spirit was saying, step out of the chaos, Stephen. It's time to rise above. I'm right here waiting. It's time to rise above. And so I want to help you as Holy Spirit helped me in that moment and in that season of life. Because me in 2026, I'm still coaching football. I'm still working full-time as a teacher. I'm still the only sub bus driver for Rossholt School District, which spans from Veblen to Lake Traverse to the North Dakota border to the Minnesota border. I'm still serving as a counselor in my free time, still volunteering at church. I cut wood on Saturdays, and I don't work in the classroom on Sundays, though. I'm still trying to be a good husband. I'm still trying to be a good dad. I'm sleeping a lot more these days, though. My responsibilities really haven't changed. What's changed, though, is my rhythms of life. My rhythms have changed. My responsibilities didn't change, but my rhythms have. And so I want you to see something in Scripture this morning. We're going to walk through the creation story, believe it or not. I want you to flip all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think of this. Holy Spirit did. And so I take zero credit for this. This is all Him. But I saw something in Scripture once upon a time that opened my eyes to the fact that we have been created for more. So I'm going to read to you, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and I want you to bear with me as I kind of break this passage down. And so this is Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Chaos was at hand. Everything was formless, dark, fruitless, empty, chaotic. But God's presence was there, waiting and hovering. And as Kirk asked that question, "Who are you becoming?" and I felt the weight of that question, I realized God's presence was right there, hovering and waiting, waiting and hovering and ready for me to be ready for Him. And He was waiting and hovering for me to respond. And I have this challenge for you. It is time for us to stop living chaotic, unproductive lives. The Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit is there. And He's in your classroom. And He's in your home. And He's at your job. And He's in your car. And He's waiting and He's hovering. And He's ready for you to rule. But He's patient enough to wait for you to realize that it's time for you to stop being ruled by chaos. And so that's what I see in verse 1 and 2 right there. I'm going to read on, and then God said, read it with me, "Let there be light." Oh my goodness, that is good. "And there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Let there be light." And what I wrote down in my notes here is that God introduced orbit in that moment. That's the light. God introduced orbit in that moment. Earth around the sun. And as I started to unpack this and started to lean into what this meant for me, because my responsibilities did not match my rhythms. I did not have healthy rhythms. And so I couldn't get through my list and I couldn't get through my day. And I was a mere phantom running about in vain. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's time for orbit, Stephen. Because my life was orbiting the wrong things. And I would argue that at times, your life is orbiting the wrong things. Earth is meant to orbit the sun. We are made to orbit the sun. S-O-N. I know that's cheesy, but that's what I wrote. Okay? But that's what was missing in my life. My life was orbiting around everything else. Trying to be a sub bus driver, trying to be a part-time volunteer at church, trying to be a full-time teacher, trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good husband. My life was chaotic, and it was spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And the reason that it was spinning is I was orbiting the wrong things. And I thought about this, you know, how big is God, right? How big is he? Like the sun is huge. So for the earth to get around the sun one time, it's a year. That's how long it takes our earth to go around the sun. One whole year. If you didn't know that, welcome to fifth grade science. I'm sorry, okay? But now imagine how big God is compared to the sun. That's a lifetime. That's an eternity. God is a long orbit, baby. But we like to orbit small things. Told you I'm coaching football. Back in 2017, I was orbiting football. Look at how tiny that spin is. Not just a day, but 12 weeks. If I did this for 12 weeks, you know how dizzy I am? I'm already dizzy. We should do one of those drills where we put the football on the ground, we spin around it just like that, and then we try to take off running down the aisle just to see what happens. Okay? I appreciate that, Daniel. Exactly. I appreciate your boldness to say that in front of all of these people too, bro. But that's the reality. We orbit small things. We orbit work. We orbit our kids. We orbit our kids' sports schedules. We orbit my wife's illness or whatever. We orbit tiny, tiny things. Teach me to number my days. Show me my life's end so that I know what's real and important, what's eternal and what's temporal. I am not called to orbit small things. I've got one big God. And it will take my lifetime, my life's span. And if it's 45 years, or if it's 85 years, or 105 years, I'm gonna spend it in that slow, steady orbit on him. It should take your life to orbit God. And it should take your lifetime. Stop wasting it on small things. You wanna not be ruled by chaos? Find the only thing in this world that's worth orbiting. And I promise you, they're not sitting beside you. Sorry, husbands and wives. We serve a big God. And it's time for us to get our orbit right. And the reason why it's time to get our orbit right is because having the right orbit establishes what I like to call the right rhythms. And that's verse 5. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. The first day. I misread it. Orbit leads to rhythm. On day one, God established orbit. And in that moment of orbit, he established a rhythm. Day and night, a healthy, healthy rhythm. And our lives are meant to have a healthy rhythm. Now, I brought props today. I brought my micro kit. I got lots of drum sets. Sorry. Pretty lady, I've got lots of drum sets. Sorry. But this is my micro kit. I figured this would be the best one to use for my analogy for this morning. I love using this kit, especially when I was in college. Trisha and I were participants and in a group called Chi Alpha, which was a campus ministry. And so I had the honor of being part of their worship team. Thank you, Jim and Kathy, again. Bringing it back, okay? I can't do that, otherwise I'm gonna cry. Okay, anyway, and so like think this room, but even smaller, packed tight with college kids. I don't even know how many it was 50 kids in a room a third this size. It was hot, it was sweaty, and it was awesome. And they wanted real worship. They wanted not real worship. They wanted like live worship. And so my friend Jordan, my friend Ryan, and I, we were on the worship team, and they wanted drums, right? And so as a drummer, it's like, what? I need to honor the space. And I didn't have a cajon at the time, okay? And so I needed to honor the space, and so I had a micro kit. I had the three essentials that you need for rhythm. You need a bass drum, you need a snare drum, and you need a hi-hat. And I can play, and this isn't like Stephen trying to brag about it. A drummer can play any song with those three essential things, okay? You don't need anything more. Is it nice to have more? Sure. But honestly, that's all I needed. And that's all the space required. And so I'm going to give you three things that I think your life needs this morning. Three things that your life needs on a daily basis. And yes, I said the word daily. You need scripture, you need prayer, and you need silence and solitude. Those are the three things that your life needs. And as Holy Spirit was calling me out of the chaos back in 2023, those were the three things that he told me I needed to add to my life. And I was add to my life. I'm already up at 5:30. I'm already going to bed at 12:30. Add. But guess what? When you add things, naturally you have to subtract others. And as I started to add the things that were vital and necessary and important, other things from my list of responsibilities, Holy Spirit just started to subtract them. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need this. You like that, but you definitely don't need that. You feel like this gives you life, but it's leading you to death, Stephen. And he just began to pluck and pluck and pluck and snip and prune and mold and shape as he taught me how to rule chaos instead of being ruled by it. Prayer, scripture, silence, and solitude. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a map of my morning routine. Now, this is descriptive, meaning I'm going to describe you my morning routine, but I also feel like there's some prescriptive elements to it, okay? But the times are subject to change, okay? So what does life look like for Stephen with these rhythms in place? Well, my morning routine, 5:25 a.m., my alarm goes off, baby. And I hit the snooze for 5 minutes, but I don't fall back asleep. At least I try not to. And for 5 minutes, my morning starts in praise and thanksgiving. I just lay in my bed, and I just whisper over and over again, thank you, Jesus. 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 And when that snooze goes off at 5:30, it's scripture time. Go downstairs, make myself a delicious cup of coffee, and it's me and my Bible in my dining room. And I sit and I read scripture. I receive whatever God has for me. And at 6:15, I go and do what I call communal prayer. Communal prayer or communion prayer is just being in God's presence. I just sit in a little chair. I've got a little foot massager that my bride gave me and a little back massager that my bride gave me. And for 10 minutes, I just sit there while those two devices are going away. And I just sit in prayer, just being in God's presence. A lot of times I'm just praying in tongues, to be honest with you. Okay? And if that weirds you out, sorry, be weirded out. It's necessary and healthy for you. And I just sit there and I pray. And then my alarm goes off at 6:25. And then I go into what's called petitional prayer, intercessory prayer. I have a list of people each day that I go through and pray for. And then after that, my alarm goes off at 6:45, and it's silence and solitude time, where I just sit in his presence. I don't say a thing. I start it with a prayer. I say, guide my thoughts and guard my heart. And then I just sit in silence and wait and listen. And then 6:55 hits. I wake up from silence and solitude sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I stretch. And then I get after it. And that's every morning for me. And as I added scripture, prayer, and silence and solitude, everything else that I thought was so necessary and so important, so necessary for me to waste my life orbiting, God has been so faithful to piece all of that away. And so that's what a day looks like for me. And so I would encourage you, if you don't have a morning rhythm, or if your morning rhythm is dictated by this piece of garbage, which is telling me I'm almost out of time, then let's establish a better rhythm. Because there's a better way that scripture is trying to introduce. God introduced a rhythm. Evening and morning. Prayer, scripture, silence, and solitude. And what's great about rhythm is rhythm creates what I call margin. Rhythm creates what's called margin. Let's find it in scripture. Look at verse 6. This is the start of day 2. And then God said, let there be an expanse, space between the waters to separate water from water. Let there be an expanse, Stephen, as you embrace a healthy rhythm. After I got the right orbit and I was following, oh, my life is not meant to revolve around football or Trisha or my kids. It's meant to be this long, steady, slow orbit. And then God introduced these rhythms of prayer, scripture, silence, and solitude. Suddenly, I start to experience what's called margin, space between. And that's what God wants to create in you, is this space. When you add the things that your life was meant to have, God will remove the things that were never meant to be part of it. Or he'll help transform your focus so that you stop orbiting those tiny things that are leading you into chaos. And so when we orbit the wrong things, our rhythm and pace leaves us without any margin, right? For what we truly need to be present for, right? Think about football. When I'm orbiting football, we had little kids at the time. Wow, back in 2017, man, my kids were little and she needed help in the house. And it's really hard for me to help in the house when I'm dizzy from spinning around things I was never meant to spin around. And so when we orbit the wrong things, our rhythm and our pace leaves us without any margin for what we truly need to be present for. Right? It helped me to realize the things that had eternal significance versus the things that were temporal in my life. And I'm an overfunctioner by nature. You got a job for me to do, I will do it. And I'll do 12 other jobs while I'm doing that job. And it is a curse. Multitasking is a myth that society has sold you. You were meant to live a life of a long, steady orbit. And I know I hurt some toes there when I said multitasking is a myth, but it is. It is. It is. You were meant to live a long, steady orbit. And when you are in a wrong rhythm and a wrong pace, it's real hard to be present with the people and the things that need you in that moment. That word from Mary this morning, hallelujah. Will you be the one? I am leading you to a world that needs you to be the one. But you can't be present when you are orbiting the wrong things with bad rhythms and bad pace. And the great thing about margin, as I started to experience space in my life, margin leads to boundaries. Take a look at it. This is verse 9, the start of day 3. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. As my life started, as I got the right orbit and established right rhythms, I started to experience margin. And margin led me to have what are called healthy boundaries. Land and seas, school, home, football, church, keeping things in their lanes and not letting them just go willy-nilly with my life. As I was trying to do it all and becoming the shell of the man God created me to be in the process. Orbit, rhythm, margin, boundaries. God introduced boundaries to my life. And when we orbit the wrong things, we tend to protect the wrong boundaries or we neglect the right ones. And I'd wake up at 5:30 thinking about football, and I'd go to bed at 12:30 thinking about football, and then I'd dream about football, and only to do it the same way the next day. And so Saturdays now, I have a slow start to my Saturday. I work on Sundays. I do. I work on Sundays. And so my work usually finishes here at the church at around 1 o'clock. And so my rule is Saturday, I don't work until 1 o'clock. And I have a huge pile of logs waiting for me in the town of Rossall right now. Hey, those of you that live in Rossall, you've probably seen it. And you better believe I wanted to go cut that up yesterday. And I just was like, I can't. I can't. It's out of its boundary. I got to protect my boundary. I'm preaching tomorrow. So I went for a walk for an hour and a half. It was awesome. Saw butterflies, sang praises, prayed. Like, it was awesome. Because it was the boundary that needed to be protected in that moment, you guys. And so for me, it's learning to protect my yes. Saying yes to the things that I really need to say yes to, and no to the other things that I shouldn't be saying yes to. You better believe there's a draw in my life. Parents wanting me to solve their problems for their kids. Parents expecting me to tell their kids yes and no. And then throwing me under the bus when I tell their kids what their kids need to hear. There is a draw in my life. I do not respond or answer a text or a call before 8 a.m., and you better be kidding me if I'm going to answer a phone call from a parent at my house at night. And I will not answer or respond to a text after 10 o'clock. I will not check my email. There is no way I'm going to do that. I used to. And chaos ensued in that process. I've learned boundaries. I've learned to protect my yes. And the thing that I want, maybe for some of you that are over-functioners like I tend to be and have struggled with boundaries, is not neglecting responsibilities. It really is not. It's not neglecting responsibilities. And I got this from Trisha, so if you really like this, you'll like her, okay? But it's not neglecting our responsibilities. It's actually trusting him with the process while learning to be present. I'm still coaching. I'm still teaching. I still have a job. But it's not going to dictate my life. And it's not going to, I'm definitely not going to let it call me back into chaos. It wants to. This week it was screaming at me. Come back into the chaos, Stephen. Come back. It's so good over here. Oh, it's fun. It's dark. It's empty. It's fruitless. You feel like a shell of a man. Come on. There's more money over here. Yeah. Sorry, chaos. I rule you. And the reason this is so important is because right orbit, right rhythms, and right boundaries lead to good fruit. Look at verse 11. This is still day 3. God just made the boundaries, and look what the result is. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. Key word there, land produce vegetation. Seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. God introduces fruit. And when we have bad orbits and bad rhythms and no margin and bad boundaries, we feel the need to self-rely. That's me. I feel the need to self-rely. And in that moment, when I am self-relying with no margin and bad boundaries, I'm self-relying, I produce bad fruit in the process. You get the version of Stephen that the world wants versus the version of Stephen that the world needs. And so I was producing bad fruit. Oh, I thought it was good. I thought it was good. It looked like fruit. It was noble fruit, but it was rotten at its core. And what I want you to notice is in this passage right here, God calls us to be. This was a profound thing that I learned during this stage and season of my life as God was calling me out of the chaos. God calls us to be long before he calls us to do. Which is why fruit was created before Adam and Eve. It's not like God made Adam and Eve and said, now grow some stuff. Come on, Adam, make an apple. Do it. Squeeze real hard. You can do it. Nah. We try it though, don't we? Oh, we work so hard to produce fruit and it's gross. It's disgusting. And the world loves every little bit of it. And so what we see right here is God's calling us to be before we do. Fruit is created 3 days before we ever were. He produces the fruit. He produces the fruit. I'm going to say it again. He produces the fruit. Who produces the fruit? He does. He does. He does. He does. We are merely cultivators, folks. We are merely cultivators. We are stewards of his fruit. We are stewards of his fruit. We are stewards of his fruit. Well, what's his fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He produces the fruit. We are merely cultivators as we take a long orbit and embrace necessary rhythms. Prayer, scripture, silence and solitude. He produces the fruit. Because cultivating the right fruit is our God-given authority. Cultivating right fruit is our God-given authority. But that only happens with right orbit, right rhythms, margin, and boundaries. And if my life doesn't have those things, the world gets what the world gets, you. A version of me that God never intended to exist. We have been created. We have been created to be good stewards of that. Jump to verse 26. I want you to see that. This is day 6. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them," keyword, "rule. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in his own image. In his image, or in the image of God, he created them, male and female. God introduces on day 6 identity and authority. We were always meant to bear his image and to rule. And a conversation that I've had in my activations class, okay? In my activations class, we've been talking about how each of us is called to be a unique carrier of an expression of God. Each of us is called to be a carrier of a unique expression of God's nature and character. And so I had these kids write down a word. I gave them a list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. I gave them a list. And I asked them, what's the word that you are meant to be carrying? And so we went around the room and shared what their words are. And what I've learned is my word, the expression of God's nature that I'm called to carry, is patience. Patience. The world version of Stephen is about the most impatient person you would ever meet. I look like I'm standing still right now, but I am bursting at the seams. But as I found the right orbit, as I added the right rhythms, margin and boundaries led to the fruit of patience. And I can thankfully say that 2026 Stephen is profoundly different from 2017 Stephen. As I've learned what orbit and rhythm is meant to look like, I have become who I've been created to be. I've been called out of the chaos, and I've been commanded to rule. And that is as true for me as it is for you. And so this morning, if you're sitting here going, "Oofta, I don't even know what to do with a message like this." Well, neither do I. But I would say that first step is orbit. What's dictating the rhythm and structure of your life? if it's not God alone, if it's God and, something needs to change. Get the right orbit. Add in some rhythm. Scripture, prayer, silence and solitude. Not news, not TV, not your cellular device, not work, not exercise. Get the right rhythm. You'll find margin as he cuts away the things that are temporal and prunes you because he's a good gardener. He'll help you to establish firm boundaries, which he'll expect you to enforce in spite of the temptations you face. And then he will produce the fruit while you merely cultivate it as you steward the life he created you to live. Amen.